In section A1 of the Lord's commands, we see that an invitation is extended by the Lord to participate in the kingdom of God. The Lord refers to its magic in such passages as Matthew 13:31. Another parable he put forth to them, saying, "The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field, which indeed is the least of all the seeds. But when it is grown, it is greater than the herbs and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and nest in its branches." This phenomenon can seem to come out of nowhere for individuals of a modest or lowly background. The very week that I graduated from high school, I attended a conference, a Christian conference in another state. It was in a football stadium. And during this time, a sermon came out having to do that Jesus Christ was to not only be your Lord, your Savior, but your Lord. And I was convicted at that time. I had grown up in the denominational church, but I recognized that the Lord had my name and address, that he was addressing me and that he meant business. And I was moved by that, and I acknowledged that he needed to be my Lord. On the way out of this football stadium, I recognized within myself the witness within, which all Christians have. I recognized within myself that there was going to be a practice of unholiness that I had to stop. Well, about a year later, I was home for the summer from university. And one afternoon, I was impressed to pray with intensity for about a half hour or so. And then I had the Lord's peace about it, and I was able to stop. And when my dad came home from work that day, he told how that he had been on top of a ladder working that afternoon about the time that I was praying. And he fell off the ladder. He fell onto his head, onto concrete. And yet he emerged from the incident without injury. The result was for me an illustration of how an all-knowing God prevented a serious injury within my own family. It was a demonstration of the magic of the kingdom of God, an out-of-this-world and magnetic culture. In the general picture, disciples are meant to develop their own story over time throughout their lives, and they learn to carry such a profound message with all caution and gravity. Many further such accounts can be found, both published and unpublished, among Christians. Some are going to complain in this respect about cherry picking and say, well, these type of stories don't at all represent reality. All right. My answer is to this, that the point of these type of accounts is to get the attention of the world and to inspire Christians with regard to Matthew 6:33. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. In the attachments, we've provided a few more such accounts to go along with Stan Frodsham's book, which we mentioned in the last episode. We mentioned William Roper, a Methodist circuit rider who was nearly drowned in a river crossing with his horse. Well, it turned out his mom was praying for him at that same time. Tommy Hicks, an evangelist in Argentina in the 1950s. There was a great revival, and it's quite a story how that came about. Samuel Morris, the son of an African chief who had been kidnapped by another tribe, was being tortured and about to be slain, and the angel of the Lord came, rescued him, took him at night through the jungle, and afterwards he met missionaries. He boarded a pirate ship, came to America, and told his story. I'm going to also say that the kingdom of God goes a whole lot farther than these type of stories. 1 Corinthians 2, "Eye has not seen, nor ear has heard, nor entered into the heart of man, the things which God has promised to them that love him. By comparison, I would consider, in contrast, the desire of humanity to explore new realms, outer space, biotechnology, high technology, various sectors of the earth that have not really been explored. There's an innate desire in humanity to go search out the unknown, and yet the kingdom of God seems to be at the bottom of our list. It's pretty much the idea that it needs to be avoided, and it's the devil who has tried to convince humanity of this. Some are going to ask why we don't see demonstrations of the Holy Spirit more often, and for that matter, why accidents and injuries and such happen in the first place. In short, the answer would be that Christians are operating in a fallen world. They're going to have to learn to recover the economy of the kingdom of God. Periods of low anointing, moreover, are to be the usual case. And I'll tell you why, because it's safer for Christians to learn to follow the direction of the Spirit, because he's going to expect more in a time of high anointing. This culture has been largely neglected or ignored for a very long time. It's only going to be recovered with a significant level of dedication. Deuteronomy 4, where Moses spoke to Israel of a time when they would be exiled from their land. And Moses says that even there, if you will diligently seek the Lord your God, if you will earnestly seek him with all your heart, he will hear you and actually restore you to your land. Christians who have heard of the acts of the Holy Spirit are supposed to be asking where he is. Jeremiah 2, where the prophet says to Israel of the time, neither did the priests ask, where is the Lord who brought us up out of the land of Egypt? The job is about looking for the kingdom of God, Matthew 6:33, as we already said. In later podcast episode, we're going to be looking at the conditions the Lord sets for entry into the kingdom of God. The invitation by itself is not to be taken as the only condition. There's going to be a dependence on the individual and his level of opportunity. The urgency of this effort is not to be underestimated. In Luke 13, we have a passage along these lines. And the Lord went through the cities and villages, teaching and journeying toward Jerusalem. Then someone said to him, Lord, are there few that be saved? And he said to them, strive to enter through the narrow gate, for many, I say to you, will seek to enter and will not be able. When once the master of the house has risen up and shut the door, and you begin to stand outside and knock at the door, saying, Lord, Lord, open for us. And he will answer and say to you, I do not know you where you are from. Then you will begin to say, we ate and drank in your presence, and you taught in our streets. But he will say, I tell you, I do not know you where you are from. Depart from me, all you workers of iniquity. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth when you see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the prophets in the kingdom of God and yourselves thrust out. They will come from the east and the west, from the north and the south, and sit down in the kingdom of God. And indeed, there are last who will be first, and there are first who will be last. Now, we've had to keep these podcast episodes at a relatively short length in respect for the attention span of a wider audience. But I'm going to say that there's a large amount of material that we're dealing with. We've established many takeaways from both the Gospels and the Law of Israel as extensions of the Lord's commands. And as we consider further, as we consider individual passages, there would be further color that we can't even get to. We're just going to have to work together. In conclusion, I have a comment about those who might be unsure of whether they've really met the Lord or not. There are not a few people that can't speak to an individual or an actual salvation experience who seem to have known the Lord or been a Christian most of their lives. If you're concerned about this subject, I'm going to say it's a plus. And I'll tell you why, is that the mandate for all Christians, all professing Christians, and the cautionary for all humanity is to get down to the business of making the Bible your own, of establishing, does he even know who you are, of establishing how he deals with you, and of asking the Lord what he wants you to do.
That while we were sinners, Christ died.